The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. Thank you very much. What a day of college hoops awaits us. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Live from Bar Canada here at the D. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten will join us to talk all things that he is betting, as will Ben Wilson. Oh, graced by the presence of Ben Wilson a little later on the show.
The Today Show. Can't get over that.
Kid was on the Today Show. He's big time. We're always thrilled to have this gentleman on the show with us, and we're just talking off air. We're going to get the whole list. He works at ESPN. We know that he works at Daily Wager. We see him all day doing studio shows, and then he has this whole other life in the mornings that we were unaware of. It's the great Dallin Cuff. How you doing, Dallin?
Fellas, I'm very good. Yes, I'm at the Ivy League tournament right now. The games are semifinals tomorrow. Finals are on Sunday, so excited to call them. And I know you asked, so I'll give you the full rundown. We do college basketball analysts, college basketball hosting, college basketball game analysts, college basketball play-by-play, which I'll be calling tomorrow. My partner, Noah Savage, who I played against in the league, will be my analyst, play-by-play for soccer. A lot of betting stuff across sports, writing, and radio hosts or radio guests or whatever I was going to say of radio. There you go. I think that's basically it. Oh, podcast hosts. There you go. That's all of it.
Dallin comes to us. Dallin comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Well, you mentioned the Ivy League tournament, so why don't we start there? Your alma mater, Columbia, not in the four-team tournament, so we lament that. But it is Princeton and Brown. It's Yale and Cornell. Break it down for us, if you would, sir.
Guys, this league is better than it's ever been, and there are three teams here, Princeton, Yale, and Cornell. If any one of them wins, remember, everybody remembers what Princeton did last year, they're capable, all three of the teams are capable of winning one, maybe two games in the league. As it relates to Princeton, they did it last year, they can do it again. They've got two great young sophomores, maybe in the league, Caden Pierce. Pierce played an integral role that team last year, player of the year in the league. This year, the team, the value, though, is really on Cornell to win the tournament. They're plus 350. They play Cornell, they play Yale in the opening round, and then if they win, they play Princeton or Brown, likely Princeton. Why they're value on them is it's 3.5 to 1. All these teams split with each other. Yale had Cornell. Cornell had Yale on the ropes in New Haven. They fell apart down the stretch. They beat them at home. They split with Princeton as well. And when I look at the numbers, it just doesn't – any one of these three can win. And I just said, and they one of the three can succeed. But for Princeton to be even money right now, I think Yale may be 2 to 1 now. It's moved down from above a buck 50. But for them to get 3.5 times your money when I think they could even win, like, it's any one of those three. So I just think there's a tons of value right now on Cornell in a neutral site. We're not playing at home sites, which is a great equalizer. And Cornell, the way they play, they press you. They play real deep, 9-10 guys. They all can make threes. And they have guys that are great drivers. You have to respect it, so they put them in deck and score. And like, anytime you want to win in the NCAA tournament, unique system, be able to make threes, be able to make free throws is critical. They have two of those three very, very well. Free throws sometimes can be shaky with Cornell. But if they get in, they can do it. But like I said, any one of the three. But there's your value on the tournament is the big red.
All right. Ivy, the final conference tournament to start as per tradition. Of all the other conferences that are still going on, and we are strewn with college basketball today, 36 games, some conferences in their quarters, but most in their semis. I was going through the pre-flop long shots that are still alive. Is there a long shot that exists in any one of these other conferences or two that you think is live still to win their tournament?
Two that I carry a ticket for that I really love and I'm still in them is Florida. 18 to 1 was where I got it. You think we opened maybe a 20 to 1 in the SEC. I like them plus 4 with Bama today. I think the way that Todd Golden has developed this team, the bigs have really improved for the course of the year. They've got shot blocking, all elite offensive rebounding, and Tyrese Samuel can make some moves in the post. Condon can make some threes. They also have elite guards, but Walter Clayton is outstanding. Zion Pullen, transfer from UC Riverside, has been great. Like these, they have the components and they've improved through the year and they have wins now against some of all these teams, all the best teams in the SEC minus Tennessee. I think that that's a great value for a team that could run it. Granted, it's 4 and 4 days. They have an extra day of playing based on where they were seated, but I like their path to potentially get to the final. I think it's them or Kentucky out of the bottom of that bracket. I know Tennessee can do it, but I think the value is on them or Kentucky, who was, I believe, around 4 to 1 when it opened up, when it was before the tournament tipped off in the SEC. The other tournament is not one of the bigger ones, but we've already seen the chaos. I covered it all year long in the A-10 with VCU. They were plus 900 as a 5 seed, the A-10. The A-10 was the most open tournament, and we've seen it. Guys, all 4 of the top seeds are gone.
Yeah.
Like they're all out. So it's like it's in complete chaos. And the thing is, too, we always wonder with some of these tournaments with the I-majors, who's motivated? What does it really mean to them? I'm looking forward to next week. Everybody in the A-10 outside of Dayton, and Dayton obviously lost to Duquesne. It's a one-bid league. So these teams are playing for their life. Like, there's no question of motivation. And VCU now, I think, they had a good path before. I love where they're at right now. So I know that number has significantly come down. But those are the two more, quote unquote, long shots that I liked before that are still alive. And now things, I think, are opening up, at least for the Rams.
I like it. And these conference tournament schedules are always quirky. So the A-10 resumes tomorrow. No A-10 games today. Yeah, it's really stupid. That's probably.
Well, I understand. But Bernadette, I understand why they did it. Their commissioner Bernadette, because she's worked on the committee. She knows they do a lot of the bracketing and stuff on Friday. So her thought in that, their league thought, is if you have it on Friday, I'm sorry, they do their stuff on the weekend. You want to have everything locked on the Friday. So they know that out there who the final four are, so they can bracket. And if there's years when they usually have that large bid, you have a better chance of putting them on the right seed line, knowing who those four teams are, versus pushing it one day further and having your final four on set, like not knowing the quarterfinals tonight, semifinals tomorrow, final Sunday. They can't move those Saturday and Sunday because of contractual TV obligations. So they moved everything up to give the committee time. I get it intellectually. It hurts the top seeds who all lost because you get a day off in the middle of the tournament. It doesn't reward anybody for the regular season. And it also loses a little bit of momentum. But I understand why they did it. I still don't agree with it.
All right. So less stupid than initially reported here on the show about a minute and a half ago.
Well, I said it. Bear in mind, you took my lead. I said stupid first, and then you repeated it. So that's my fault.
No, I'm totally playing. All right. Anything ATS beyond the ones you've just mentioned today?
Beyond the ones I've mentioned today, bear in mind, Purdue opened at 5.5 last night. I think it was last night I saw it. I about fell out of my chair. Like, I think I saw the line change in the moment that I placed it. It was at 6.5, but I think it's 7.5 now.
Yeah.
Again, I mentioned Florida before. I'm trying to think off of South Carolina getting 7.5 is a team that I think this is – the computers don't value them because they don't – the metrics aren't exactly like what everybody wants. But the results are the results for these guys, man. They grind you. They make you play a half-court game, and they're extremely well-coached. Congratulations to Lon Paris on his extension and coach of the year. So – I like South Carolina in that matchup with Auburn. I think they can keep it within the number. The Houston team total under, you guys keep me honest here. It was 62.5. I think it was last night when I played early this morning. So my radio show at 6 a.m. I think it was 62.5 then. I don't know what it is now, but their team total under for Texas Tech, excuse me. So betting on Houston's defense there. I think Providence can carry it forward with give me 5 today, and without Tyler Kolick, and there was hell of an effort by Marquette. And I love the fact that Marquette, when they went to overtime guys last night, that huddle, when they cut to them, they were like, next play, let's go win this game again. They exude the toughness of Shaka Smart mentally and physically. But Kim English has got a special group down there, and you got Aduro and Carter. Give me those 5 points. I'm still like today, I'm gobbling up points. I already mentioned UF. I'm on the NC State train. I am out on UVA. I've watched too many games, guys. It's been the last 12 games of watching them play. Like, I cannot back them. And they snuck away covering yesterday, too, which was painful.
Amazing.
But they covered it over time. That, when that shot went into regulation, I'm like, I'm done. They're done. Like, we're cooked. So it couldn't get out with taking my 5.5 points at that point in time. Like NC State, I had it at +3. The one big favorite I have today is Arizona. I think Arizona is just going to – I'm not sure where Oregon's at mentally. Their season's pretty much over. I don't think they believe they can win that game. And when Arizona is revved up to play, they're as good as everybody. They're as good as anybody. And they wanted retribution on their mind against USC yesterday. We saw what happened there. I think with Oregon, I think they come out here and try to continue to lay a statement and try to maintain a level. So I'm going to lay the 11 with Arizona.
All right. By the way, Houston 70, Texas Tech 61, thereabouts for team totals today in that ball game. Okay.
So Texas, the Red Raiders team total under is what we're talking about.
Team total under. Okay. Yeah. 61. All right. Yeah. Before we go here, just a couple more minutes. Let me just ask you some big dance questions. I was just saying this out loud the previous segment. Okay. Most people, if I said, all right, who's the team you trust? Who's your number one team in the country? Most people would say UConn. And I think if I extended it to two, most people would say Houston. If that is, in fact, your one and two, who's your three?
Ooh, that's when it gets dicey. Because, yeah, guys, I'm not on the Purdue train. I think they're great money to win this tournament. They were even money to win the Big Ten, which shocked me, in all honesty. Because I think they're built to win that league. I don't think they're built to play other places as much. I don't think you're built as much around Edie. Any foul trouble is a problem. I would say Tennessee. Tennessee probably, because I do think you have a true wing stud in Dalton Connect. They do guard you. They play on both sides of the ball. And Zakai Ziegler has progressed. Jonas Adu has really progressed. They've gotten better offensively. That doesn't totally rely on him. But when you need to make a play, he can just go get you a bucket. And in the same vein, North Carolina is right there as well in terms of being able to play defense at an elite level, but then offensively having options. Can they play through Baycott, Harrison Ingram, and then you have the ACC Player of the Year in and RJ Davis that can go get you a bucket or create one for a teammate. So those are the two teams I trust the most. Ironically, the one team, the last man put in that bucket of trust in terms of their product is Kentucky. Like, you know, they're going to score. They can score better than anybody in the country. The question is, are they going to defend it all, even a little bit, to get them wins? And I think you're starting to see the mentality change. You started, you know, they've won with 7 of 8 in that Arkansas game. They were down 9 about 9 minutes ago. They flipped the switch and they were kind of locked in. Since then, the defenses have been a little bit better. And if they just carry that forward, I'm interested to see how they perform in this tournament with some urgency and some focus on that side of the ball. We know on the offensive side of the ball, they are better than anybody. That is inarguable in college basketball. If they guard at a decent level, then I trust the product they're able to put forward is to outscore some teams and get some stops enough to get deep in the NCAA tournament. I'm going to win it all, but get deep.
You may have just beat me to my final question. We only have 30 seconds left, Alan, because I was going to ask of the group that is not amongst the usual suspects at the top of college basketball, and obviously we don't know the brackets quite yet. We don't know the path. What team or teams is one that you could see making a deep run? Kentucky is obviously one you just mentioned. Is there another one real quick?
Yeah, my bias is there from the beginning of the year. I got a 24-1 ticket on Illinois to the Final Four. And I think that they had, when Coleman Hawkins is stretched 5 the way he is, Damascus has been way better than I even knew he could be back then. I was betting more on Terrence Shannon, Coleman Hawkins in a veteran group. So I'm going to keep it going with Illinois. I think that's a team that could get it done and get to the Phoenix.
All right, might as well, shouldn't jump off now if you had him the whole distance. Dallin, appreciate it very much. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Dallin,
be well, fella.
Dallin Cuff, everybody. College basketball analyst at ESPN and so much more, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line.
Yeah, awesome stuff with Dallin, as always.
Busy man, just got off the air, jumped on with us, going to do something else right
now. Ivy League practice, yeah.
NBA talk, we'll update the Players Championship. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. World Be Free. Wonder if it's the actual World Be Free. Lloyd Free, who changed his name to World Be Free? No? A little before your time? He said, can we get Boston Reds on the show? I need to hear some mid-major rants. Well, a little funny thing happened on the way to get him on the show. But again, I do have a podcast with him from 4 years ago, right after COVID hit. It's fascinating.
Check it out.
Hour and a half, edited lovingly by Kelly Bidlin.
That's
he was
right.
So happy to edit it. He was like, can I edit it, please? And we were like, sure, Kelly. It's really good of you to do this. And so he did. It's on the Beating the Book feed, by the way.
It was like me and Bill probably by ourselves hanging out in the Feast office. And I'm like, down there, what is going on?
You know, Gil, cocaine's not as good as it used to be. I'm like, okay, thanks. Appreciate that input. Jamie Leva, Bidlin's Birds of Prey is sounding better and better. What do you think, Gil? Have a great weekend, gentlemen.
Ooh, that's a good name.
Bidlin's Birds of Prey. Talking about, again, how this gentleman who owns a company called Killer Bees went into Indian Wells and saved the quarterfinal between Carlitos and Zverev yesterday. Ed Hamilton.
I got to watch that video now. I only saw the bee attack. I didn't see the aftermath. I want to see
the attack was the most amazing part. But yes, him dapping up Carlitos and
that's
Sasha,
awesome.
Him
Sorry.
Taking selfies with people in the crowd, like
that's
he was
amazing.
The big star.
That's amazing.
Imagine that, like in the middle, they're like, oh, we got to get a beekeeper in here. What does a beekeeper do all the other times of day?
I could talk about this for 15 minutes. Like, okay, great question. Do you have, like, if you're a tournament like Indian Wells?
No.
Are bees enough of a problem that you have someone on call? Like, is that guy their go-to guy?
I'm guessing.
Or did you have to rifle through the yellow pages real quick?
Well, I'm guessing most Google. Of a beekeeper's job isn't the dispersing of bees,
I think
but rather
right.
the preservation of bees.
Right. Right. So they can create honey.
But that's correct. And we need bees in the ecosystem desperately.
Right.
So I think this is one of the more rare circumstances, certainly in an arena, certainly a sports venue. Where they go, we need a beekeeper for this. They're
this,
like, oh,
this well. Is beyond fascinating.
And he literally was walking around with like a bottle, a plastic bottle with a spray.
I'm sure he's got his own special solution. What was his name? The Killer Bee Solution. Maybe you should hit up Phil Steele. Get that out there.
What a boon for his business.
Really is.
Phil Steele, is that his name? No, not Phil Steele.
Yeah, I'm blanking
Flex on Seal
it.
Guy.
Yeah, Flex Seal guy. What's
not
his
Steele,
name?
Steele, right? No. Ed Hamilton.
Phil something.
Talking about Aaron Rodgers, said, will the Secret Service have to be the Jets' offensive line to protect him? Should really improve the team.
Phil Swift.
Phil Swift, thank you. DeAndre's brother. David Shalaford, just kidding. How long till we see Kelly injuring himself kicking a field goal in a Progressive commercial? Hashtag sponsor everything. Hashtag it's called Longshot.
Video's already created. They could, yeah, absolutely use that if they want.
Kelly, are you doing okay physically? All your ailments are behind you?
The multiple injuries that have occurred to my left leg, they're basically fully recovered.
Got a left leg weakness. Yeah. Right, be careful. Jance Copperpot, thing that sticks out in my mind most of the day 4 years ago when the world shut down was just the insanity at the airport as thousands of spring training fans all tried to get home at the same time. Won't mention again how my Cactus League bucket vacation was ruined by COVID, but I did.
A few tweets about that.
That segment was pretty well received yesterday. Like, yeah, we were just going through the timeline because I, for some reason, I'm weird like that. And I had a perfect timeline of what went down that day.
I guess I find it kind of funny. We didn't talk about this off the air, but I found it kind of funny how many tweets we got more about the very specific bet or team experience that was ruined. You know what I mean?
That's right.
For that, which I understand. That was always something that we were all.
Yeah.
I mean, I had Deki Matsuyama in the Players' Championship. He was clearly going to win the thing.
Which was canceled the next day.
That's right.
That's right.
So,
Friday.
Like, don't get me wrong. We all have those. But I was surprised the nerve that struck with people.
Yes,
still.
That's a good point. Buddhist man. Gil, anybody can give out plus 425 tennis winners. Want to impress gambling Twitter? Why don't you handicap this matchup? But he's got the Killer Bees guy from yesterday against who was this? Falconer.
Is it the Falconer that he got on the beach in Mexico and sent us a picture of?
Oh, and this is great. Roger Jones and Paul Kraus both answering New York Mets' question about which races can we follow from NHC 2024 that the public can follow along with. Mandatories are, who did?
Chris texted us.
Oh, he did. I didn't see that. Gulfstream, fifth race. Oaklawn, the fifth race. The ninth race at Tampa Bay. The eighth race at Aqueduct. The second at Turfway. And the eighth at Santa Anita. There you go.
Bidlin's Birds of Prey.
That's all he's thought about since then. All right. Tournament Players Championship at TPC Sawgrass. Golf's de facto fifth major. We got a log jam at the top. Oh, boy. Oh, this is great.
Let's go, baby.
We got a three-way tie between Matt Fitzpatrick, Wyndham Clark, and JT Poston, who is 5-under through 9 today. All three of those, 8-under. You got JT Poston to win this?
No bets on JT Poston. I've had a few top 20 bets on him this year. He's been a top 20 machine, so we'll be happy about him winning this. I don't think I told this story on Long Shots or on this show. How about like 6 months ago, my mom running into JT Poston's father-in-law, okay? And was having a conversation with him about JT Poston, but my mom kept confusing who he was talking about because he kept just saying JT. So she, of course, thought, like everybody else on the planet, he was talking about Justin Thomas.
That's great. No, not quite Justin Thomas. JT Poston. Anyway, so it's Fitzpatrick, Poston, and Clark all at 8-under. One stroke back, we got five guys. Matty Schmid at 7-under.
Jason, you better have that ticket.
Keith Mitchell, who you have some Keith Mitchell, right?
125-1, baby. Let's go.
Wow, he's one back. He's 7-under. Scotty Scheffler, who's 2-under for the day through his first nine, he's at 7-under. Scotty, I have one bet in this tournament. Scotty Scheffler to win it all, right? And which is a stupid bet because it's only plus 550, and yet here he is, as always.
Hey, man, you've been the guy saying it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Hey, just put a bet on, bet on Scotty.
And Xander and Rory, who have yet to tee off, who are clearly just lazy, haven't gotten really their tee times
yet. I'm probably going to target today at some point, just seeing how this leaderboard is stacking up. Again, special long shots today after the cut special we will be doing.
I'll probably bring
this up. Corey Connors was a guy who was very close to playing pre-tournament. He's at 6-under through 9, 2-under on his round today. I want to see how the rest of the round shakes out, but I have a feeling I'm going to be taking some kind of in tournament position on him, probably maybe a live top 10, top 20, something like that.
Can I enjoy when I try to rile you up with some stuff. Can I talk to you about some basketball thing that happened yesterday?
Sure.
Michael Wilbon was discussing his MVP ballot. He's a voter on ESPN yesterday. One was Jokic. Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Two was Anthony Edwards, followed by SGA. Luka was fourth, and Jason Tatum was fifth. Wait a minute. So Tatum was fifth. Come on. And SGA was third behind Ant. How does that make you feel about your bets?
Not great. And as you and I were texting yesterday, how are the olds going to screw me up on this?
The olds are going to get
the
you.
The olds are going to get me. It really is a, well, first of all, ESPN, you broke the number one rule of teases yesterday because they caught my attention. I was sitting there working. And they're going to break, and it's coming. We come back. Michael Wilbon joins us to talk about his MVP, the MVP candidates, and the surprise winner. He's got or long shot. He's got up front, and then it was comes on. He's like, "Well, if it ended today, it'd be Nikola Jokic for sure."
Yeah, not exactly a long
shot. Not a surprise.
It's not called long shot.
It's not called long shot. And then he was going. This is where he was like, well, he's like, I don't understand why Anthony Edwards isn't getting any credit. I've got him and Shea like 2-3, and then he'd have Luka Tatum like 4-5.
That's what
he said. Is how he was kind of laying it out. And yeah, it just it led me down a rabbit hole of I think I spent 45 minutes yesterday power ranking what I would have the MVP candidates
where,
like.
Where would Tatum be for you? Like not even close to that, right?
I have Jason Tatum at number 8. I made him number 8.
Much more reasonable.
I made him number 8, and a lot of that is to do with, look, I think the Anthony Edwards one is it's a decent point, but he's right around the same area of Tatum. The biggest argument that you have for both of those guys is their team's success so far.
The biggest takeaway for me is we have SGA tickets.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, here we are, you know, pontificating about this. This is just like we do this in every sport, and we have no idea what these guys are actually thinking.
That's what it is. I mean, we bring this up on every awards conversation, but you've got no idea what these guys are thinking.
Maybe I'll try to get Wilbon on. You can talk to him. I mean, go ahead, Kelly. Have at it. You have a basketball bet today?
I do. You want to hear my power rankings real quick?
Oh yeah, please.
I stopped at a certain point because they get a little murky.
Go ahead.
Number one, Nikola Jokic. I did put him number one. I'm kind of at that point, too. Uh-huh. Number two, SGA.
Yeah.
Number three, Giannis. Number four, Luka Doncic. And I stand by those. Well, unless you want to argue that SGA should be number one, then I'm okay with that one.
Yeah.
Number five, Donovan Mitchell for me.
I like that.
Now, if you want to say, yo, Kelly, he hasn't played barely enough games, you're right, and he's going to have trouble actually qualifying for this award.
Correct.
But just right now, he is qualified for it. So right now, he would be number five for me. Kevin Durant would be number six. He would be number six for me. Kawhi Leonard, number seven. Jason Tatum, number eight. And then it gets really murky after that. Haliburton, probably after him, nine. Then LeBron, Steph, Anthony Edwards, somewhere in that order.
Steph, don't sleep on Steph.
LeBron and Steph.
Yeah.
Better seasons than anybody wants to admit.
Amazing. Jason Weingarten on the other side. We'll get that Kelly basketball pick. It's a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Not a registered VSiN.com user yet. What are you waiting for? Create a free account today. That's free. And get VSiN Pro access to everything we do through the NCAA Championship Selection Sunday show this weekend. Sign up today at VSiN.com/champweek and get instant VSiN Pro access, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our all-new NCAA Tournament Betting Primer. Don't miss out on this VSiN Pro free preview to help you bet the tournament smarter. Create a free account now at VSiN.com/champweek and get full VSiN Pro access from now through March 17th. That's VSIN.com/champweek. We get texts, we get tweets. Michael Montesano, who won the booby prize at Circa and will join us in the football handicapping contest, Circa Millions, and is also going to join us to talk college basketball, Sharp College Basketball Better on Monday. He texted in. I think this probably speaks for a lot of people. He says, I'm done with NBA awards after just hearing what you said about Wilbon. He said, I'm out. That's it. We get tweets. Steve Clark. Beekeeper somehow managed to wrangle up 5 million bees in my old hometown. 5 million.
Whoa. This is, I could spend an hour on this. What do you mean wrangle? Like he didn't kill the bees?
He's in Canada somewhere.
He somehow captured the bees and then put them back in their little beekeeping area boxes?
I didn't have time to read the whole article, quite frankly.
It was an article sent to you?
Oh, yeah. CNN article from the year 2023. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see here. Corbin, I think the real question that isn't being asked is how the hell does a few thousand bees just all of a sudden appear? Where did they come from?
No, I hear you.
Did someone piss them off, or did the bees have it out for Carlos because they have a Zverev ticket in Hive? I did notice that the bees were smart enough not to mess with Sasha Zverev.
like, has this been an issue at the tournament ever before?
No, okay. Never.
So that's what I was wondering about that yesterday, too.
Did I miss something? This is NJD107 underscore. Did I miss something, or did Kelly completely forget about Jalen Brunson on that MVP list?
Oh, I did, actually. Yeah, I said it. As soon as I went to break, I said he's in that muddied mix as well. He's bottom five, though. I mean, 5 through 10 in that area.
One thing before we get to Jason that I wanted to clarify, because people may have seen this in the news, and I just wanted to just say something about it. Because if you saw, it's kind of buried story, the NFL investigating potential tampering by the Eagles and the Falcons for their pursuit of Saquon and Kirk Cousins, respectively, the two biggest names that have been in the news, of course, in this free agency period. Just to let you know, it's just nothing ever happens with this kind of stuff. In case you were like, "Will the trades get void? Will the signings get voided or whatever?" No, nothing. And sanctions rarely ever happen in this case. And if they do, it's levying fines and docking draft picks. Like, that's the most. They're not going to, there's no possibility of these not standing.
I saw the story, didn't really read into it much, though, because I feel like we've had these a couple times in recent history, but it's always, like you said, it's always been, it's fines or like what? They grab like one of the, they take away one of the compensatory picks or whatever. Exactly. It's like always something like that.
And just to give you an idea how stupid it is, the Eagles investigation with Saquon stems from comments made by James Franklin, his old coach at Penn State, where Franklin indicated that the Eagles GM Howie Roseman and Barkley spoke on the phone before Barkley's Giants contract officially expired Wednesday. And Barkley's like, he completely misunderstood.
How is that possibly something you could punish the Eagles for?
Well, here's a dumber one. You know what the Cousins thing was? Cousins, when he was on the podium Wednesday, seemed to indicate that he spoke with the Falcons head athletic trainer at some point earlier.
Yeah.
A relevant selling point for a guy who's just coming off an Achilles injury. But as a member of the Falcons, while Cousins can rehabilitate at the team's facility, he was not, per league policy, allowed to communicate with the director of sports medicine or any team staffer beyond the players who seemed intent on recruiting him. It's just so stupid.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke at Spreadopedia, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. If there happen to be any VEASAN listeners in L.A. who own a body shop, I am in need of some work on my car. Maybe if... anybody out there wants to work on the Spreadopedia mobile, get in touch with me.
Hey, Jason, you can always feel free to use this platform for your own personal for your own personal comings and goings. Anything else you need taken care of?
What's the Spreadopedia mobile, buddy? I imagine like a purple El Camino or something like that.
What do you drive, Jason?
No, it's a 2010 Ford Fusion because I'm past the point of having to impress anybody with the car I drive.
My man.
I like it.
Rufus and I used to talk about that for years. We couldn't care less about what car I drove.
It's a very common trait of very successful gamblers is that they drive very, very old, crappy cars. A lot of the best gamblers I know drive just rust buckets at this point.
I had my Acura Integra for like 20 years before it was stolen.
Oh, my gosh. Stolen?
Oh, yeah. Typical San Francisco story.
Well,
of our cars are safe up there.
Then you got Randy McKay, who just, he wins a car every year playing in slot contests.
Randy McKay has
27 cars.
Jason, any update on the – I know you're our official Royals correspondent here on a numbers game. Any other developments in the Kate Middleton story?
I mean, there have been plenty of developments. I don't know what I could say on the radio without getting sued by their lawyers or potentially threatened, but it's all they have to do is prove she's alive and they can't do that. So something's clearly up.
Ladbrokes, Patty Power, William Hill, nobody's putting up anything? No? Doesn't exist?
No, nobody's touching that one. I don't blame them too. I wouldn't do that. I mean it's just poor business practices because
it might not age well, right? That's the problem. Because you don't know. Yeah.
I would like somebody to put up a market on, next 737 to crash, which airline.
Oh, my God.
If,
he
if
loves
somebody
this.
Needs help,
this
I can
guy.
Make that market.
Okay.
I've been working on it all week out already, but, I think we should be doing that at this point.
Jason Weingarten, for all of his many quirks, maybe the quirkiest quirk of them all is his fascination with plane crashes. It's just...
I have a favorite plane crash.
Okay.
Do I even ask? Do I even ask?
Probably not.
Probably not. I probably shouldn't.
Okay. Hey, Jason, tell me you got a Matty Schmidt ticket. How about that?
I don't this week.
Oh!
I had it last week. So
brutal.
Probably going to win. The answer is South African Airways flight 259.
I didn't ask, Jason. I didn't ask.
Well, it's a great, it's just like, look up. There's a Wikipedia on it.
Okay, just checking. So you don't have Matty Schmidt. You had him. You did one of those things where it's like the week he does well, you don't have him, that sort of thing. What's the self-loathing going to be if he wins this thing?
Oh, well, so the nice thing is in a field like this where you got Rory and Scheffler and Wyndham Clark and Fitzpatrick and whoever else near the top, at least if I wanted to live bet him right now, I could still get a good number, but it's so early, you know, we're at the beginning of the second round. I'm not even going to worry about Schmidt being in contention for, you know, another day and a half.
Okay. Who do you have in this tournament, by the way?
Surprisingly, nobody.
Oh.
I wish I had live bet Keith Mitchell yesterday when he was 100-1 in between rounds. Now he's up near the top, but otherwise, I didn't really see anything that caught my attention.
Here's a question. How late in a tournament will you get in on this? Like back nine Sunday, you're still live to make a bet, you think?
Depends if I've bet anything or not, but I find that, you know, you can still make bets Sunday. Saturday night tends to be a good time before the final round. I find my most common times for live betting are after or near the end of the first round and after the third round. So
okay.
You know, it really just depends.
All right. Do you have any bets in random golf tournaments that maybe others can jump in on still?
I wish there were, but because it's the Players, there's an Asian Tour event in Macau. It's the only other thing, yeah. And I didn't see any odds on it. So, yeah. You know, kind of a light week there for me.
Like with tennis, with the exception of one 125 tournament, Indian Wells takes over for sure. Okay, college hoops. What have you added? What are you playing today?
So Irvine got the bye in the Big West tournament. So they play their first game today. It's a semifinal. And if they win, they go to the final tomorrow. I think they're like an 8-point favorite over Long Beach State tonight. So the only thing I really did with that game is I did an open money line parlay, assuming they're likely going to be a favorite again in the Big West championship game. If they win tonight, I'll just roll it over and see what I can get that way.
The Fighting Jason Weingartens of UC Riverside, -200.
Irvine. I didn't go to
UC Irvine.
How dare you? Ooh, Riverside. No.
No, my buddy.
Ropes. I got into Irvine.
My buddy Wes is the AD at Riverside, so I got my wires crossed. Sorry about that. UC Irvine, nice. Pardon me.
UC Davis getting steamed a little bit this morning.
Riverside already knocked out, it should be mentioned. At the beautiful,
they lost last night.
Yeah, the beautiful Dollar Loan Center Arena, where Ben Wilson does his thing, who's joining us next. Anything else we should know, Jason, besides the fact that you need car help? Anything else before you go?
Getting ready for the opening game in Korea in a couple days. I'm pretty excited about that. Do we have opening numbers yet for that game or no?
I have not seen them. Checking in some spots right now. He's talking about.
Yeah, I don't see anything.
Yeah, I don't see anything either. Not up.
But
yet.
I mentioned Jackson Merrill made the Padres roster. If you could still get him for Rookie of the Year, 40-45-1, that's probably a pretty good bet for a guy who's going to be opening day center fielder.
I love it. We'll do a whole segment with Jason. This is a Jason staple too. But then, like Columbo on the way out, he's like, "Well, one more thing," and then he gives out the winner at the end. Jason, good luck with the car, and thanks for the other colorful insights. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll talk to you guys later.
The great Jason Weingarten, who has interest in so many different subjects, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. The great Ben Wilson with his college baseball and basketball plays next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can bet just $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. That's VSIN. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Here live at Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'd say, Kelly, come down and say hi to us, but people do anyway. So, open invitation, I guess.
That's right.
Carte blanche.
Can't stop them.
Vacuum was real close to us earlier. We got the vacuum keeper.
Yeah.
To get rid of the vacuum earlier. Nice job by you.
team bouncer Kelly Bidlin had to shoo away some vacuums earlier.
They're just trying to do their job.
They really are.
Jerk.
They're just trying to do their job. No, you know, you're good about that because you know you don't want to get anyone in trouble. They don't know any better.
No, they don't. They know. They're just doing their job.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Deepak 48 on Twitter. I feel like Jason's Google search history is the darkest place on the planet. I feel like Jason's Google search history is the darkest place on the planet. Who says favorite plane crash? Laughing emoji. Who's his favorite serial killer? Oh, he's got that too.
Oh, tweet of the week.
I'm
going tweet of the week.
yeah, he's that's why we love him. That's why we adore him. Just, you know, maybe not for radio. I want to play this even though he may not join us. Can I play this again though? Because I just
give us 1 second.
Oh, okay.
Benny's coming. Don't worry. He's coming. He's coming. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. I just didn't know
his computer's acting funny.
Computer's acting funny.
I don't want to give him. I don't want to talk trash about Benny. He's been up late calling these tournaments. I know he was probably up till 3 a.m. calling games last night.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, mark my words. Ben Wilson will be more famous than all of us combined in the VSiN. History in the annals of VSiN history,
and one of those people you just root for because he's a good dude.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yep. By the way, update real quick before we get to Ben. Tournament Players Championship. Matt Fitzpatrick, 10 under. Kelly, do you have any Matt Fitzpatrick exposure?
No, I do not. Very impressed by this by Fitz. He looked really bad early in the season. Kind of been turning things around. I know he spent a lot of time. I think it was at Bay Hill on Saturday. There were reports of him being on the practice green and at the driving range for forever. So good for Matt Fitzpatrick. I've never had him and Wyndham Clark. All the success they've had, I've completely missed out on over the past year.
Fitzpatrick, 10 under. A little more than halfway through his second round at the Players' Championship, TPC Sawgrass. He's 10 under, 4 under for the day. 1 stroke lead over Wyndham Clark, who's 9 under through 10 today. Matthew Fitzpatrick has played 12 holes already today. Clark, 9 under, 1 stroke back through 10 today. JT Poston, 2 back at 8 under. He's 5 under through 10 today. And then there's the bevy of golfers who are 3 back. That includes at 7 under, 3 back, Keith Mitchell, Scotty Scheffler, Chris, 4 golfers. Pardon, what did I say? 5? 5. No, Matty Schmidt, Keith Mitchell, Scotty Scheffler, and then the two that haven't teed off yet, Xander and Rory, who tee off in about an hour and a half, the both of them. All right. Yes. Yesterday we played this. Yesterday, no, we played two days ago.
No, yesterday.
Yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, the
days
game was 2 nights ago. Yeah.
Game was 2 nights ago. It was the WAC first round of the WAC tournament. Stephen F. Austin and Abilene Christian and our VSiN colleague and dear friend Ben Wilson was on the call, and here's once again how that went.
Lost the ball. Simmons up ahead. Simmons blocked at the rim. What a play by Christmas. 1 second to go. Kajus for the win. Oh, it's good. Lumberjacks win.
Love it. And the Lumberjacks do win. It's Stephen F. Austin beats Abilene Christian, and Stephen F. Austin then would subsequently get knocked out themselves. But Ben Wilson on the call, and he joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Ben?
Wow, who is that guy? Yeah, it was an out-of-body experience. I don't even, you know, it's crazy. I still can't believe how that actually happened. But, no, thank you guys so much for playing that. It's been a crazy week, as always. And, you know, we're getting off the air at, like, midnight every night with just crazy finishes left and right. So, no, it's been a blast so far. And we've got the two semifinals tonight. And this year, I guess there were so many crazy finishes last year that, you know, ESPN picked up our second semifinal tonight, so excited to get a national game, which will be fun.
There you go, and you were on the Today Show. They ran the clip on the Today Show as well. Huge.
I know. I'm like, Hoda, where are my royalties at?
Hoda. Good Today Show knowledge, Ben. I just have a couple questions. One, is your does your voice get sore after any of these games? And two, when you're making that call at the end, are you seated or are you standing going nuts?
Oh, great question.
I'm sort of like in a, so I was seated, but you're kind of like on the edge of your seat and just, you're basically in that moment. You can't really think about, oh, what am I going to say? It's more just like, it's happening so fast. Like you saw the guy, if you watch the video, the team that loses the game has a player with a full head of steam with the basketball at half court with 5 seconds left. He gets all the way to the rim, and they still give up a shot at the other end. So you're really just basically reacting, and if that's where you're trying to just use as good of word economy as you can, because there's so much happening in such a quick amount of time. And you really are just basically hoping that however it reacts and comes out of your mouth, it's going to sound somewhat competent, because you can't, that's really all you can do. I would say it was sort of a seated position that turned into a jolt when the shot actually went in, but I thought there was no way he actually made it. Like that it actually got off in time. So I'm like, well, I'll make the call and then let's just watch the replay. And then you watch it again and it's like, oh, wow, he actually did. This is amazing.
Yeah, good for you. Well, by the way, word economy.
I love the guy. So really, like, in the moment, that is running through your mind. Like, you are making that call, and you're like, I'm going to make the call however I'm going to make the call, but there's no way this shot got off?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm making the call, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to lay out. It's a great moment. If in the off chance that he actually got it off, it'll be really cool, but we're going to overtime. That was honestly my first thought in my head. And then that's we look at the replay and it's like, oh my God, he got it off. And I was so glad I didn't just say, well, there's no way that's going to count, because it would have ruined the moment.
Right. You're like a referee who lets the play go on and then you adjudicate afterwards. Good for you. Last thing on this, I keep calling you, I keep saying you will be the most famous person to ever come out of VSiN. Do you humbly accept that, or do you wish that I will never say that again because it adds too much pressure?
You know, it's not the pressure thing. You don't need to keep saying it. I mean, it's funny that whenever I fill in for you now, I'll get like within probably 7 minutes, Gil, the last time I filled in for you, we had multiple tweets on college baseball, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, come on, Gil. All of a sudden people are wanting all the futures, and it was like clockwork with Kelly. But I always appreciate it, but you know. Oh, you don't have to.
Well, I do that because under a cloud of smoke for Jason, right, under undisclosed location for Mark Borchardt, you're the most famous person ever.
Gil, he's co-hosting with Dustin and myself this weekend. Clearly, he's going places. Obviously. Okay, clearly.
All right, I'm moderating. Yeah, I'm moderating between two guys who have two of the best hot takes in the business.
We only have a few minutes here, Ben, so I just want to get real quick, rapid fire. Do you have any college basketball plays that you like today?
I don't, unfortunately, with how these weeks are, like, I'm basically just in the WAC bubble, for lack of a better term. So I'm really only focused on these WAC games. I would tell people for the games tonight here. So it's two really tightly lined games. UT Arlington is this sleeper team that is just now starting to get some attention. And I think it looks like the betting market is really starting to catch on here, because they got open. They opened 2-point favorites, and it actually did flip here. So they're about a point dog to Tarleton State, but man, they hit 19 threes last night, which was a WAC tournament record. They put up 104 on like a top 90 Ken Pom defense, and Stephen F. Austin, the team who won the other night. So UT Arlington looks like the actual team who could maybe make a run here and pull off this tournament. So that's the one team that I think everybody's kind of buzzing about right now. How that goes with the market is going to be interesting, but like they have an absolute stud in Dejuan Gordon as a guard play. And then they've got like the freshman of the year in the conference, sixth man of the year in the conference. They really have it all. So that's the team I'm kind of keeping my eyes out for. One that I would expect to make a run.
I'm going to stop you there, Ben, because I don't want you giving specific betting advice on games that you're calling play-by-play for, because I don't want you to ruin your career. So let's end that.
No, there. I'm just saying. When you watch 18 threes, you're like, I can't not pay attention to that.
All right, Ben, 30 seconds. Give us two college baseball teams that are worth a flyer on to win it all this year.
Texas Tech, Texas A&M, although the number isn't great.
There it is. The great Ben Wilson, everybody. Ben, enjoy the Orleans. Great food selections there as well, I should point out.
TGI Friday. ESPN crew goes every night after the games, Gil. You're welcome.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Send us to the ESPN. I don't know if we're worthy, Ben. Ben, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Well, it's ESPN Plus crew, but,
The cooler crew. There we go. I'm in.
Downgrade. Thanks, you, Ben. Guys. Appreciate it, man. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.